William O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com, and you're listening to All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Paul McCusker for the third time. The reason he is joining me today is because C.S. Lewis and Mere Christianity, The Crisis That Created a Classic, is just being released on Tyndale House. You can check the show notes at EssentialCSLewis.com for a link to my other interviews with Paul and find other useful Lewis-related content. Well, welcome back to All About Jack, Paul.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you again.
Let's see. The best place to begin, I think, is probably to clarify that your latest book is not Mere Christianity itself, but a book about the fascinating history behind how that title came to be written. But for those skeptical about the usefulness of it, let me have you address the why this book question initially.
We had done a drama with Focus on the Family Radio Theater late last year called C.S. Lewis at War, which dealt fictionally with the story behind the writing of Mere Christianity and some of his other writings during this particular period. And it seemed to make sense after working on the drama that all the research I had done there, I should just go ahead and turn around and put it into a nonfiction version of that to explain what really happened, things that I didn't deal with in the drama and other factors. So the why this book is really because it was intended to be a companion to the drama. You don't have to listen to the drama to read the book, but it just seemed to make sense for me to tackle what was a fascinating story. It was a fascinating chapter in the life of Lewis, and the story behind the writing of Mere Christianity was, I think, a great story in itself and has a lot of stuff that just people don't know.
Well, now, how did you come about the information you provide in your book? You mentioned the kind of the why you did it, because you did get information with the radio drama. Again, the title is C.S. Lewis and Mere Christianity. And how did you come about finding out the background information?
14 or 15 years ago, as we were looking for source material for dramas for the Focus on the Family Radio Theater, I came across a book by Justin Phillips in Britain called C.S. Lewis and the BBC. And Justin Phillips was an archivist at the BBC, among many other things. He was a presenter. He did a lot of work with them. And he had access to their archives. And he tackled this subject there. He kind of went into what was going on with Lewis, what was going on at the BBC, and how things converged to create the radio broadcasts, in essence, that became Mere Christianity. And I read that and thought, oh, this would make a really good drama. But it was 14 years old, and there's more information that's been unearthed. I went to the BBC archives myself. I looked through all of the biographies, the letters, everything I could get my hands on, and realized that there was an angle, there's a whole approach that I could take to the story that Justin Phillips didn't, though, of course, his work was foundational to any of us who hope to write about it.
So, Paul, go ahead and give us more of a taste of what you cover by telling us about how Mere Christianity got started. How did it first get on the radio?
The backdrop is that war had broken out in England. And with that, especially in Britain, radio emerged as a primary place of communication to the people. Television was still in the early stages, and so radio, the BBC in particular, became a bit of a lifeline to the people of the country. And they took very seriously their responsibility to the population, not only to inform, but to educate and to inspire, especially in a time of war. Many of us have a hard time appreciating what it was like for the British once the Blitz started, when the German Air Force basically began to bomb the living daylights out of Great Britain, strategically in London and the other large cities. And so you had some visionaries at the BBC who were in charge of the religious department and said, you know, it's just not enough for us to be broadcasting worship services. We need to be doing more than that. And as they were having these discussions, then C.S. Lewis, in his own personal life, there were a lot of things going on, including opportunities to try to make the faith clear to his audience. And initially there was a book called Problem of Pain that he wrote under commission. He was asked to write it. He was very hesitant to do it. He said, I'm no theologian and this could be a no-win thing for me to do. Because as soon as you set yourself up that way, there are a lot of people who want to knock you down again as if somehow you think you're special for trying to answer the tough questions. Well, it was starting with that and then a lot of his other writers that came to the attention of the BBC, a religious leader, the religious department leaders. And so everything sort of took off from there to lead to it. The commission that was, well, why don't you talk to the nation about your faith and what you believe and why you believe it.
Now, you mentioned the radio drama C.S. Lewis at War a moment ago. While the listeners can check my interview that I did with you some months ago, go ahead and take a couple of minutes to describe it more and how it is obviously differs from the present book.
Well, the essential story is the same in both. In fact, just about everything in the drama is a representation, a dramatic representation of something that I got from his biographies, from his letters, from the Justin Phillips book, or from any number of sources chronicling his life in that period between 1939 to 1952-53 when Mere Christianity came out. The nonfiction book deals with that period of 10, 12, 13 years. The drama actually takes us up to the point of the first broadcasts and then, and what that did, what those broadcasts did to Lewis's life and how it impacted him and how it impacted his listeners. So I have a more limited scope in the drama, time-wise. And also, because it's a dramatic representation, I mean, clearly you're dealing with C.S. Lewis as a character, his brother, Mrs. Moore, who was like a second mother to him, but was very high maintenance, relationships with his co-workers, with the Inklings, with the BBC. All of those things are dramatized and arranged dramatically to try to capture the essence of what happened in Lewis's life. So anytime you move into a radio dramatization of true events, you have to take some liberties, some exceptions. Scenes have to have dialogue, and the dialogue is made up based on as much as information as I could get about what was said. But obviously, there aren't line-by-line transcripts of all the conversations. So, you know, I get to make these things up. Where there's speculation, I get to make it up as the dramatist.
Right, yeah. And then your book, I guess, it essentially saying it's complementary. You mentioned before that one doesn't have to listen to the radio drama, but obviously if they're interested in Mere Christianity and learning more in maybe a different realm, getting the radio drama would be very useful to them.
Sure, and it would be like the difference between a film like The King's Speech and then you read a book about what really happened, and you can see where the dramatists and the director and the actors made choices to heighten drama. Not in order to mislead, but just to make it a compelling story, more so or less so. Though in some cases, I had a few people suggest that I had toned down the character of Mrs. Moore, that she was actually far worse than I had portrayed her in the drama. But my feeling was I didn't want people to be alienated from her, that she was a flesh and blood character that had full dimension. And so I didn't want her to be portrayed as some sort of a shrew or a villain in the story, because she wasn't. So that's the sort of thing that I would point people to. The difference between a drama and the nonfiction book is just that. One is emphasizing the story, character, and plot, whereas a nonfiction book can get into all kinds of details that are interesting but may not be, you know, as dramatic as other things might be.
Well, personally, what has Mere Christianity meant to you? Obviously, you did this material, but I'm sure the fact that maybe you have some enjoyment of it or benefited from it probably played a part.
Well, I have a new appreciation for it. When we recorded the drama, we also recorded a dramatic reading of the entire book, Mere Christianity. So my initial impressions of it when I first read the book probably 20 years ago And I was an adult when I read it. I came to Lewis a bit later. I was in my mid to late 20s when I finally kind of connected to him, apart from the quotes that everybody put out from him, you know, the liar, lord, or lunatic argument, or, you know, all of those things that as an evangelical I grew up with, but got into him through, it was Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe and the Narnia series that more or less drew me into C.S. Lewis as a writer. And from there, I went to Screwtape Letters and Mere Christianity. And Mere Christianity was astonishing to me because it was so lucid. To have someone of Lewis's intellect taking on the hard questions, and he was always unflinching about the hard questions when it came to the faith. He never ducked them or dodged them. He would go at them head on, anticipating what people are thinking or what they're skeptical about or what they would argue with him about. And he would just hit them head on. And he did that throughout Mere Christianity to make his case, to explain why Christianity made sense to him and why it was the answer to so many questions. And all of those things played into not only just an academic experience for me, but a very personal one, as you asked. It was something that impacted my faith. It renewed my belief that we can discuss and argue the faith beyond just mere subjective feelings, but actually move into a certain amount of objective logic to explain lots of it. Granted, there are leaps of faith that have to be taken with any belief system. But I don't know. I think Lewis is one of a handful of people who, at least for the 20th century and beyond, could tackle the questions head on, answer them in a way that was intelligent and coherent. And I think that probably has affected my faith in a lot of very deep ways over the years.
Well, getting back to the book directly, C.S. Lewis and Mere Christianity, how did you determine to structure the book? And is it any different than the Justin Phillips book?
Well, it is. Justin Phillips, a lot of his book was, the chapters were in a sense thematically based. There is a chronology to it, but what he would do is, for example, stop and do a chapter on the life of Lewis and sort of capture the essence of that. And then other things talked about wartime Britain and other things talked about a variety of different things chapter by chapter. So when I did the drama, of course, with the drama, I had to find the chronology so I could get this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And so that chronology informed the drama and then informed the approach that I wanted to take with this book, which makes it a bit different from Justin Phillips. I went more for a chronology. Of course, I gave backstory where it was necessary, might have talked about some surrounding things as was needed. But for the most part, this book is chronological so that you're getting everything as it unfolds without a lot of projecting forward and suggesting certain things. To me, that was the essence of the storytelling, which is you wanted cliffhangers. You wanted to know only as much as everyone knew at the time so that you have more of a cliffhanger. You had more of the story as it was unfolding rather than me writing as the omniscient author who knows everything that was happening before and will happen after that.
Well, now, as you know, thinking back now that the book is finished, were there any particular interesting facts as you were creating it that you learned, or any that you believe others will find most unusual, or maybe both?
Well, I think that people who don't know Lewis well, and even those who think they know C.S. Lewis, and that's a big qualifier, that I think there are people who believe they know and understand him, but they know that only based on a few things that they've read by him. This book, I think, is going to reveal a number of things that people generally don't know. Number one, C.S. Lewis was wounded in World War I. I don't know that a lot of people understand that he even fought in World War One, that he was wounded, and that the wounds he received actually stayed with him for most of his life, and certainly the experience of the war influenced him throughout the entirety of his life, even haunted him in nightmares long after that war had ended. I don't know that a lot of people know about Mrs. Moore. Mrs. Moore was like a second mother to C.S. Lewis. And she and her daughter actually lived at the kilns with C.S. Lewis. Warney, Lewis's brother, joined them later. And Warney and Mrs. Moore didn't really get along very well, which created quite a lot of tension in the house. And Mrs. Moore was also the type of person that we would call a high maintenance now. She was just very demanding in a lot of ways. And that put a huge burden on C.S. Lewis's life during this time. And then he had the whole dynamic at the, at Oxford. I didn't fully appreciate until working on this, on the drama and on this book, how much, his career suffered because of his faith. And it's not so much his faith, but the fact that he dared to not only articulate his faith very publicly, but his purpose for articulating it was to actually proselytize. I mean, he wasn't just being neutrally academic. He was actually arguing and articulating the faith in order to persuade people towards it. And that was considered a no-go area for academics at Oxford at the time. It was bad enough that you would do it at a time when people were turning away from the faith. It's another thing to do it when he wasn't even a theologian. It wasn't his area of expertise. And to go outside of your expertise and talk about it at length was just not done. I mean, I think someone described it as sort of using the wrong fork in the wrong place on the setting. You know, it's bad manners. And so his career suffered. So those were two or three things that I emerged, that there was a lot more going on in his life than most people think. I'm afraid most people think of him as sort of a pie in the sky academic who simply didn't come to understand life until he met Joy Davidman years later. When in fact, C.S. Lewis was no stranger to pain and to suffering and to difficulty. His Christianity was forged in the fires of adversity.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, many people think they do know a lot about him. There are those that weren't even aware that he did teach full-time, or, you know, that he was a professor. Mm-hmm. They just consider that, oh, he wrote Narnia and he defended the faith. Surely that's what he did for a living, mm-hmm. but not at all.
He exhausted himself. I mean, there are moments when, I mean, he suffered greatly in his health anyway, but even more so because he took on as a sense of duty a lot of opportunities that others would have said no to just because of the pressure of time and of work and of the burden that was already on him. And yet opportunities came up that he grabbed because he felt it was his God-given duty to take them on and do them. And so he was very sacrificial in that respect. I mean, if you know anything about him, you know that his preference would have been to stay at home, sit by the fire, chat with good friends, and read a lot. And that's would have been bliss for him. But that's not the life he actually led. I mean, he did a fair amount of chatting and socializing with many friends and reading a lot of books, but that was a small percentage of how he spent his time.
Well, as I mentioned at the start of the program here, that this is the third time I've chatted with you, and you've done actually more than these three things. There's the whole Chronicles of Narnia, but looking forward, are there any plans for any additional books about C.S. Lewis or radio dramas based on his writings?
I'm in a wishful thinking area here because we've done dramas of Narnia, as you mentioned. We did a dramatization of the Screwtape Letters. I was honored to actually work on the annotated Screwtape Letters, and I did all the notes for that. And I would love to do more annotated editions if the opportunity comes up for that. And maybe the next one could be an annotated Mere Christianity. Dramatically, I would love to take on Great Divorce. To be honest, I would love to dramatize all of his fiction. I'd love to do Great Divorce. I'd love to do the science fiction trilogy, Till We Have Faces. You name it. I would love to have the opportunity to dramatize them. And in terms of nonfiction books for the future, nothing like this. This was really hard work. I do prefer to make it all up if I could, but and this is meticulously researched and annotated in terms of the C.S. Lewis and Mere Christianity. I had a couple of editors, Mary Ann Herring in particular, who was incredibly meticulous to make sure that we got everything right, every footnote, every reference. It's like there was every line was gone over to make sure that I could justify it, you know, to make sure that it pointed to some letter or some fact of history and that I could actually chronicle where that came from. So I don't know that I want to rush into that kind of book again soon, but I tell you, it is deeply satisfying to get in that deep.
Yes, definitely it can be. Now, of course, people can check out my website, EssentialCSLewis.com, to learn of things that you end up doing. But how about your website? Where can people find you online?
Well, I have mine, which is PaulMcCusker.com. And then there are the websites related to Focus on the Family Radio Theater, which would be accessible either through FocusOnTheFamily.com. I also work on Adventures in Odyssey, which is another, it's a children's audio drama. That's witsend.org. I think we still have a radiotheater.com or .org that's out there. I think screwtape.com or .org is out there. There are a number of different places that you, can go and find out what's going on. And Googling my name with C.S. Lewis will usually pop up whatever we're working on where he's concerned, as well as Amazon.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up by having you tell us where people might be able to purchase this and remind the listeners of the key reasons why they may want to get a copy of C.S. Lewis and Mere Christianity, The Crisis That Created a Classic.
Well, I think, again, going through wherever they buy books, this book should be available, whether it's online or through their favorite bookstores. It should be accessible there. With Tyndale is the distributor for the material we create at Focus on the Family. And I want to think that the main advantage is that once you learn a lot more about Lewis's life and the circumstances behind the writing of Mere Christianity, our appreciation of Mere Christianity grows, because now we understand that it's wasn't just some sort of an academic effort that was easy for him to sort of toss out as if he could do that every day, but that it was an extension of a man who was deeply committed to his faith, to communicating his faith, and to do it in a way that would work for what was an increasingly secular society, which ought to sound very familiar to us now. He held no assumptions about the readers and what they knew or thought they knew about the faith. He went at it head on, unflinchingly, in order to persuade them of the validity of Christianity.
Well, Paul, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. I'm always grateful.
Let me remind you, the listener, that I'm William O'Flaherty, and thank you for listening today. Be sure to check the show notes at EssentialCSLewis.com for links mentioned in the show and for past podcasts, which include the two previous chats I did with Paul. And then I did a recent interview with Dr. Kevin Radiker, who does a dramatic portrayal of C.S. Lewis. You can find that along with other features like a daily fact, quote, and quiz on Lewis. That's EssentialCSLewis.com, which is a feature partner site on the Middle Earth Network.